Welcome to the New Process Podcast. Learn all the tools, methods, and best practices combined with people, emotions, and a human-centric mindset to rethink your process and push it to the next level. And here is your host, Mirko Kloppenberg.
Yeah, welcome to episode 25 of the New Process Podcast. Today, we're going to explore how BIG supports you to rethink processes. BIG is the process management platform of GBTech. Therefore, I'm talking to Mark Stromberg. Mark is co-founder of GBTech, and since then, he's head of sales for the BPM products of GBTech. Before that, he worked as a BPM consultant for IdeaShare and Seco Consult. As a fun fact, he told me that he's the only one in his family who is in the software industry. His whole family was in the restaurant business, so he was always a bit of a black sheep. But in the meantime, they realized that BPM is not such a bad industry to work in. So GBTech was founded in 2004 in the city of Bochum, Germany, and it is widely known for its BIG platform, which is a software suite with modules for process modeling, process execution, and process mining, as well as governance, risk, and compliance modules for risk management, information security, audit management, and way more. GBTech is also the producer of the Process Pioneers podcast, hosted by Mark's colleague Daniel Rayner, where I had the honor of sharing new process ideas in the beginning of the new process journey. Maybe one or the other of you already listened to that episode. And I think the Process Pioneers podcast is probably the podcast with the widest reach, and it's definitely worth listening to. Cool. So what can you learn in today's episode? With Mark, I'm going to talk about the underlying philosophy of BIG. We're going to talk about how to model processes in BIG, as well as from the other perspective on how to retrieve processes in BIG. We'll also deep dive into the new process principles, and there Mark will explain how BIG supports you to involve the people working in the process into the work on the process. Secondly, we're going to talk about how BIG supports you to disrupt established processes. And he also provides an outlook on the BPM tool market, as well as on the BIG roadmap itself. And we're going to explore the cost of BIG, the pricing model, and how you can test it. And there's also a special offer for you, so don't miss that. Just enjoy the interview with Mark Stromberg.
And now, let's start to rethink processes.
Yeah, welcome to the New Process Podcast, Mark. It's great to have you here today. I think we know us already for so many years. We had first contacts more than 10, I would say 15 years ago. And I just had to invite you to the New Process Podcast. So great that you're here today, Mark. Welcome.
Mirko, thanks so much. I really feel honored that you invited me to your podcast, because I watched every episode. And as you said, I try to find out how many years we have known each other, and it's at least 15 years. So yeah. So happy that we are still in the same industry and now getting together in your excellent podcast. So thanks so much again for inviting.
Yeah, cool. That's super great to have you here. Then let's start with a check-in. As always, what do you prefer in an aircraft, aisle or window seat?
Nico, I'm 1.86 meters. I prefer the aisle. Offers more leg room, and you can somewhat sprawl in the aisle and into the aisle. So that's much better. But I have to say, Mirko, I'm a train guy. Yes, I have been flying a lot in the past, but whenever possible, at least on the European continent, I try to take the train. But again, it will be the aisle seat in the train as well.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, it's also a good approach to take the train instead of the aircraft. But as you know, I'm an airline guy, so...
I know.
I have to ask this question, and that's why I also asked the second one, which is your favorite airport?
Mirko, I don't think about that one. It's Chicago.
Okay. Really?
And it's not purely because of the airport, but I have been an exchange student in the US in my high school time.
Oh, cool.
And as a young student, the first really long flight was to Chicago, where the hosting family picked me up. And as a young student, you know, going to the US without the parents, etc., I will always remember getting to Chicago and then, you know, seeing that really large airport and all the new impressions that you have in the US. So this is why I said, okay, Chicago has got me. And it's not so much about the features and functionalities, but the personal memories about it.
Yeah, I have nearly the same memories. I haven't been there for high school year, but I flew via Chicago to Louisville for my MBA program that time. And so I can imagine that it was also really interesting to get there and to find through this huge airport. Yeah, cool. Great. And what was the best process you have ever experienced?
Mikko, I cannot say that there's that one process that stands out where, you know, when somebody asks me what's the best process and immediately it springs to my mind, that's it. And that was the most amazing part. I recognized a process just a few weeks ago. We went to the winter holidays and went to a hotel where we spent some time. So it's not in business, really in private part. And we spent there, I think, the third time that we went there. And when we got to the hotel, first of all, we were greeted by our names. When we got to the hotel room, there was a personal handwritten greeting card wishing us a wonderful holiday. There were the chocolates that we love. And the minibar was filled not with alcohol, but with the juices that my little son likes.
Cool.
And when we got to the restaurant in the evening, we were handed over the vegetarian menu instead of the meat one because they remember, okay, we rather go for vegetarian than for meat. And this is something I just love. It's personal, and there's actually not really machines involved in there. It's somebody that recognized and documented what we love and then contacted lots of colleagues in the hotel to say, hey, please do that, mm-hmm. to have a wonderful experience for family Stromberg that night. So that is something that really stands out and I appreciate very much.
Yeah, that sounds very good. Cool. Then how would you describe your relationship to processes?
I've been working in business process management all my professional career. When I got out of university, I started directly with a very large consulting company doing process management work. And this went on up until now. So processes in my work life is there every day and it's present every day. And everything that I do professionally somewhat is related to process management. And I personally started out as a BPM consultant in my life. So I know it from the start, designing processes, modeling processes, rolling out processes to the organization, better processes if needed, change management. So everything that I more or less did in the last, whatever, 20 years had something to do with processes and still it goes on. So there's really a process management on my mind. And this actually goes also to my spare time. When I go to a restaurant, I very often see that I also think about processes. So when I leave the restaurant, I don't rate it as, oh, the food was good or the food was bad, but rather, oh, they had good processes in the restaurant. Everything went quite well. So this is something that is just incorporated in myself. And of course, process is not everything, Mikko, you know that. It's people, it's applications and tools and processes, but processes, of course, is more or less the binder between all of these things.
Absolutely. That's super cool. And I would say it's not a surprise for your history to have such a relationship. Great. Yeah, cool. Then let's have a closer look onto the tool. So it's big. That's the name of the tool GBTech is offering. And I would love to learn more, and starting with the philosophy. So could you explain a little bit more what the underlying philosophy of BIC is?
Business Information Center is actually the abbreviation, because most of our employees don't even know it. It's because it's always known as the BIC tool. BIC is actually not that just one tool. BIC is more or less a BPM platform with different modules supporting the analysis of processes, the execution of processes, governance, risk, and compliance topics, monitor and measuring. So there's not that one BIC, but customers use different modules or use all of them at once. The main philosophy that spans across all of these different modules are ease of use and modern interface, attractive design. That might be a little bit astonishing when you ask me what's the difference about your tool, that I don't start, you know, listing all the features and functionalities that we have. But my personal experience, yes, we have lots of features, and large organization, global organization use the application actually for everything that they do. But when it comes to user acceptance, when it comes to how do customers, organizations roll out a BPM application like BIC, one of the decisive factors is it easy to use? Do users have fun using it? And is this something they incorporate in their daily work? Or if not daily, but whenever they use it, they love using it. So this is something that spans across all of the modules. The design part, the analysis part, of course, Mirko, is a very modern process documentation, process analysis tool for collaboration, communication. We have the automation part, a so-called no-code automation application that supports customers really automating, executing processes that have documented, modeled. And we also have a full-blown module for governance, risk, and compliance features or functionalities, which supports the customers in fulfilling all regulatory requirements, Sarbanes-Oxley, internal control stuff. So there are different use cases, different requirements. What they all have in common, it must be easy to use. So the customer don't have much effort to train users in using the system, in onboarding those occasional users that use the system maybe once a week, once a month, once a year. And this is really something that is important to all of our customers. And that is really something that we pay attention to, that our software fulfills all the functional requirements, of course, but it must be easy to use. So this is more or less very much the philosophy that stands behind all of the modules.
Okay, and now the challenging question, because we are in a podcast and it's not possible to show something. How does the interface look like?
It's reduced to the max, let's say it this way. It's modern and it's really appealing. When somebody asks me, I very often resonate and say, it looks more like a modern website, or it looks like an app you use on your phone, because this is the way we designed it. So the features and the functionalities are not the foremost and are not right in your face, but it's very user-friendly and reduced with buttons, with features, with icons. So again, that the occasional user will have a super experiences using it. And imagine, Mikko, we have customers that have more than 100,000 licenses of BIC. Not your professional BPM expert team or whatever, but the readers, the ones that follow the processes. And you cannot train all the 100,000 in using such a tool. So it must be intuitive. It must be easy. And of course, these days, it should be mobile device capable. So if somebody would like to see a process on the phone or on the iPad or whatever tablet you use, it should be the same good user experience that you have when you look at a flowchart in a graphical way. So really reducing the tool to the maximum and not disturbing the occasional user with features, with buttons, with menus that he or she might not ever use in the system is really the way to go for us. And this is how the interface actually looks like.
Okay. I hope that I'm not wrong, but I remember that when I used BIC the last time, that you told me that you already implemented a facelift. So if there are listeners out there who have been using BIC a few years ago, what did you change?
We actually migrated the old user interface to a new, more or less platform or user interface technology or framework, as you call it. And this framework goes the next step for us. So even before this new user interface, I have to say that we already had an excellent user interface, easy to use. But now we go the extra mile and we take the next step. Now in the new user interface, everything is mobile capable. So all the features, functionalities are optimized for usage on any kind of device, because we also see the trend that you don't just look at processes on your laptop, but maybe even if you're on the plane, on the train, you want to see it and you don't open your laptop. So this was one of the things that was important to us. But also, again, going the extra mile in reducing the application to the maximum and to resemble more to the modern website that are out there, that are coming out there today, to really don't have any break when somebody uses the internet at the customer side and then goes to BIC. It doesn't look like a clunky old desktop application, but really seamless, very nice, very user-friendly. And of course, you can adapt it to the corporate identity very quickly. So the main part, the main changes is even more mobile capability, next step regarding user interface and attractive design, and of course, intuitive usage and reducing the menus, the icons, whatever you have in that application.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Then let's focus more on the processes, on the content. How do you map processes, like the process architecture, the different levels? What kind of notations are you offering?
Tool-wise, Mikko, in Big, there are no restriction in how you want to document processes. So you can go to the classical standard value chain diagrams, BPMN 2.0, event-driven process chains or flow charters, as we all know it, customer journey maps. There are IT resources in the application. There are notations for risks, controls, compliant topics. And these are out of the box, but it's not like an endless. When a customer onboards Big, he or she will see maybe 10 to 15 standard notations that are used throughout the globe and throughout the world, and the users can start right away. So there's no need for configuration. We set the system up in a way that really a user can start whenever she or he gets access to the tool. And the notations like the BPMN or the EPC or the value chain diagrams are already tailored to what we have gotten to know over the last 10, 15, 20 years, what users actually, what kind of symbols, what kind of objects they are using. So you don't have to start from scratch reducing the 100 BPMN object types to only 10 or 5 that you want to use. It's already done in the application. And then, of course, the customer can tailor it again and configure it the way he or she likes it or it's needed for the BPM initiative that is going on. The system is flexible. We call it, it's got an open meta model. So whenever there will be new notations coming up in the future, either customers or we are able to incorporate those into the tool without, you know, programming and customizing it, but it can be really configured. Regarding the levels of the process framework, there, again, are no restrictions in Big. It depends more or less on the customer. Do you want to document processes in 3 levels, in 4 levels, in 5 levels? If you have an SAP implementation, you might go down to the 6th level or 7th level. But Big does not interfere with whatever you have come up, how you want to use the system. So that's important. It's got flexibility. It's got freedom. But it's set up in a way that you do not, you know, start from scratch. One main aspect, because regarding process mapping or management, that is very often a discussion point with customers is, okay, how detailed do we document processes at all? I just said, okay, in SAP project, you might document until level 6 or 7, but this is not the norm. Typically, customers stop at a certain flowchart level in a certain detail level, but there are still lots of other documentation process-oriented out there in the organization, and this is stored in documents, in your PDF, in your Word, in your Excel, in your PowerPoint presentation, and very often there's lots of good information that is related to those processes. One thing you can do is you can link from Big to a document management system you have in place. Not a problem, then you just link, okay, you want details about this SOP, then go to whatever SharePoint, for example. But Big offers capability that you can manage those process-related documents in Big itself, not just uploading them, but managing them, versioning, archiving, review and approval workflows. And this way, the user that is looking for information process-related does not have to think, is it a document? Is it stored in a document? Is it stored in a process? Do I go to SharePoint? Do I go to Big? No, the information will be in Big. And via the full text search, he or she doesn't need to know if it's going to be a document or a process that's coming up. But you just type in the keyword and either document comes up, a process comes up. So that's a very important part. And this also solves the discussion, okay, do we put everything that is process related in a BPM tool? No, please don't. Stick to your existing documentation that is very detailed and then link it to the processes where such information help define a process in more detail.
Okay. So let's imagine we've set up our system. Yeah, it's somehow customized. I know which notation I want to use. And now I'm a process modeler. How do I proceed to map a process?
Typically, 2 ways, Mikko. If you are a well-trained process modeler, you know the notation, you know how to work with BPMN, EPC, value chains, customer journey maps, whatever, you just go ahead, open the Big tool, and start creating flowcharts. let's say it this way, the typical modeling part that you also do in PowerPoint and Visio, but also in BIC. But the difference is it's data-based. And of course, the system will help you and guide you through that process by offering validation rules and by offering only the relevant symbols that are really able to connect to other symbols. But you need to know the tool, you need to know the notation. And typically, this is something that our consultants do, that the customer side does. The BPM competence center goes out to the business and very often sits down in the process workshop, interviews the business, and while interviewing it, beaming and streaming the process on the wall, and then documenting the process on the go. Let's say it this way. And therefore, the business can really relate to what this process is all about, and they come to think about different things they would not have thought about if they would have started documenting the process on their own. But you need some skills for that. You need to interview, you need the notation, you need the tool knowledge, and so on. For those that maybe had barely a modeling training, and in large organizations, that very often happens because not everyone can be as trained as a BPM competence center, and there will be consultants in there, there will be working students in there that will not ever get the same kind of training that maybe the competence center team will get. We have a way of documenting processes in a spreadsheet kind of way, where you don't need to document in flowchart, but maybe really like an Excel spreadsheet. You enter the activities, you enter the related roles and description, and BIC then translates this spreadsheet into a flowchart and automatically generates such a flowchart view. These are typically the two ways if you want to use BIC for documentation, how you do it in BIC. And of course, as you know, there are so many ways in, first of all, come to a process that have nothing to do with the tool. Yeah, but you write it down in paper, on Visio, on PowerPoint, and only afterwards start documenting them into the BPM tool.
Yeah, okay. Definitely makes sense. That's super interesting. Great. And after mapping the process, I guess there is approval, workflow, and then as an employee, how do I access my processes?
Typically, BIC is integrated with the authentication application within the customers, like a single sign-on onboarding part. And whenever a user clicks on the link to open BIC, he or she will get a personalized landing page. We call this the MyBIC page. And the MyBIC page is either populated already once a user will access the tool for the first time, because somebody, the head of department, the BPM team, defined that this user is working on in location A, in department B, for customer Z. And these information that are relevant for his or her work should be present on that personal landing page. So in the ideal world, and this is how it works typically, the user goes to BIC, and on the first entry page, he or she finds relevant processes, relevant documents, risk controls, the link to the customer journey map that is relevant for his department or her department. It doesn't have to start going to an explorer bar, doesn't have to go to a search bar. It's all there. Mm-hmm. But like I said in the beginning, we want to make it easy on the occasional users because they are no BPM expert. They want to get to the heart of the question fast. Two clicks. And this was Mikko, I remember still today, we had a customer in Munich, a very large company producing brakes for trains and for trucks. And this process responsible person always told me, Mr. Stromberg, we need the three-click process portal. The user only needs three clicks to get to his content. And actually, that was 10 years ago. Now we made it two clicks. So opening up BIC, you got the MyBIC page, and the second click is go to your document, go to your process. And this really helps in rolling out a tool like BIC to the entire organization because we get away from the discussion, I don't know where my processes are, the tool is slow, it's not intuitive. No, the system will present the content that is relevant for that person in that job role right when they open up the application.
Yeah, I love this two-click approach. That's great also with regards to getting people excited about processes. So that's easy for them to find the information they are looking for. That's super cool.
And even beyond, Mirko, you don't have to go to big all the time to understand and find out if there are changes. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's something like a notification application. So whatever are your favorite processes, favorite documents, favorite content, a big will inform you once there have been changes after this approval workflow that you already mentioned. And this way, you stay up to date what's going on in the processes that I'm related to or the document that I'm relevant to. So this is something that also supports. I don't have to go, you know, all the time to BIG and see what changes have taken place.
Yeah, that's great to somehow involve the people by pulling them into the system by notification. With regards to the new process principles, and there is one which I really like to talk about. So how does BIG support to involve people into the work on the process, which are currently working in the process? So how can they contribute? How they are involved?
Mikko, it goes back to what I already explained earlier. In order to involve users or employees or people in process management that typically are not part of the BPM competence center, that don't have any BPM roles in the organization, the first thing is we need to make the experience in accessing a tool like BIG easy. It needs to look modern. It needs to be fast. It needs to produce the content that I'm looking for right away without going to search for it. So this is something where we as a tool provider, tool vendor, can support our customers, our internal customers on the customer side, and it's typically the BPM competence center, however it's located, by giving them a tool that does not provide a hurdle for the occasional user to get involved in processes. Because when I started out in BPM, I don't know, 20 years ago, it was paper-based. It was really applications that catered to the expert and not to the standard employee that has no BPM background. And this has changed dramatically. And BIG is really on the forefront of giving the occasional user a very good experience without detailed knowledge about BPM or about the BPM tool. So this is something that we are working on constantly, making the user experience really excellent, fast, easy to use, modern, like we described earlier. The other part is the content, Nico, and we can also support on that one. Yes, you can document and model processes in your classical BPMN flowchart, EPC flowchart level. You can use that value chain diagrams the way that probably most of the users know it from Visio or from PowerPoint. You have the chevrons, and then you put the chevrons on the process map, and that's it. Will this engage an occasional user and make them enthusiastic about process management? Can be, but the chances are not that high. So what do our customers do? They really come up with creative, fancy, very modern process landscape. It's not just your chevrons. It's a picture of a company location in the background. We have a customer that showed us last year on our process day that he created the level one and level two process maps like a tube map that you know from mm-hmm. London. So you know, okay, that tube is maybe the supply chain management process. So it looked anything but your old chevron process landscape. We have customers in the airport industry that have created a process landscape like the airport, with the airport fingers representing different processes and mm-hmm. sub-processes. And we have, for example, manager of or manufacturer of sweets of chocolate. And their initial landing page is one of their most representative sweets that they have as a really nice picture. And on that suite, they have the different process levels where you can click on and then go to different process departments. So this is something that we as a tool provider, of course, don't do, but we support the customers that the system is capable of integrating graphics, pictures, and almost use BIG like Visio and PowerPoint in creating really nice looking diagrams where somebody who's not a BPM expert says, oh, I would never have expected this is a BPM tool. I thought this is only about flowcharts and very detailed ones. So this is also something that the BIG tool is supporting in by creating such very nice process landscapes.
That's cool. I'd love to see the chocolate process map. That really attracts me.
We can arrange this, Nico.
Oh, that's cool. Ah, delicious. Wow, cool. With regards to another new process principle, which I also find very disrupting, very interesting, is how does BIG support to disrupt established processes?
Earlier on, I explained that the BIG is not BIG. It's not that one BIG. But we have the part for the process documentation, for the standardization analysis part, the design part. But by mapping processes, analyzing them, and maybe standardize them, harmonize them, you probably will not disrupt anything. You will create harmonized processes, you will create standardized processes, but does it disrupt anything? Probably not. When we talk about disruption, we come to a different module within BIG, and it's the BIG execution part that I mentioned before. This is a process, automation execution module that automates processes based on the so-called citizen developer approach, meaning somebody who is not an IT expert, somebody who has no skills in scripting, in programming, but is still able to generate workflows very easily and very fast. Mm-hmm. That means we bridge the gap between you document a process and we tell users and give guidelines how to work in the process. We have been working in BPM Merkur for such a long time, and you recognize it, I recognize it. Yes, we document the process, but when we go and do an internal audit and ask them how do you perform the process, very often it does not synchronize what is documented.
Really? This is something I've never experienced that before.
Super. I'm only talking about cases which somebody told me. I've never experienced this as well. So all good. And this probably happens quite often. And by having like a middle technology between your applications where you create workflows and you need the IT to develop and to script, we put that little tooling inside there based on the processes that the user has modeled, be it BPMN, be it EPC, it both works. With a few clicks, you can actually digitize and automate the process. It's then not said that it's integrated with all the other applications around, but very often we find that customers still use template-based processes. You have a PDF template and you send it around via Outlook. Somebody needs to fill it in. You print it out, etc. You know that. By using checklists that are sent out via Outlook, and the ones who send them out expects answers by 10 different people, but of course he or she doesn't get them and then tries to call them and tries to get information. And these paper-based, Outlook-based processes can be digitized with BIG process execution really in minutes. And we really see that customers love it. Even the one that started out, no, we only want to document processes in the first place. They start out using BIG for first processes very quickly because they can showcase that the mapping processes not just brings value in standardization, harmonization, creating a common language in the organization, but we can directly gain value and show the ROI that if we now have the process supported via a workflow instead of sending out paper stuff, it really brings value to the organization and supports the users and the employees in getting rid of all the attachments that are flying around the office all the day.
Okay. Yeah, this is something I would say for the more mature processes. So after having a common understanding, then you can think about how to manage and automate the processes. But that's interesting to have that in the same application. Yeah.
Yes. And I would agree, Mirko, that yes, typically you would say, okay, let's have a mature process and then automate it. But the real killer feature in this execution part is along the way in defining that stable process, you can always go back and say, okay, this is how we do it today. This is how it could look like automated. And it's really done in minutes. Mm-hmm. So using the execution module helps you coming to that final process and having a blueprint for either, no, we are not going to automate it, or yes, we automated an application we already have. But this is like a little bit of the specification phase that you know when you want new tool and you start writing down the specification, what the new workflow should be doing it. You're doing it live based on the real process that the users have defined. Mm-hmm. So that's really a good tooling that you want to use for relevant use cases.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. Yeah. Before we look into the future, I would like to ask if there is anything else you would like to share with our listeners with regards to rethinking processes. So is there something you would like to add before we look into the future?
You know, we're coming from the tool side. We're a tool vendor. We offer coaching, we offer training, but foremost, of course, it's all about the big tool. And when either new interested parties come to us or even the existing customers, and we talk about what they have in plan, what they're trying to do, and the vision that they have, it very often focuses around process mapping, because mm-hmm. right now they might be using Visio, they might be using PowerPoint or Excel or whatever. And of course, they have a need to get a more professional tool in order to support that process mapping in a better way. And then they have you know, process mapping on their mind. And my role, and I'm there like the sparring partner, is of course to show them the capabilities of BIC and what it can do for the organization and the benefits it will bring. But my point is always the mapping part is just a few percent of business process management. They are not, you know, immediately they're after a BPM tool, but they want a BPM tool to have a better business process management system. And a business process management system is so much more than just the documentation of processes, of course, and all that we talked about before. So I always remind customers, think about communication and marketing. Think about change management. Think about integration of the tool with other applications. So spanning the whole BPM life cycle right at the beginning when the customer has process mapping on their mind, but already telling them, hey, please think ahead a little bit for the future. And we have lots of customers and lots of good examples how you can already incorporate future requirements, use cases, right at the beginning while you still have process mapping on your mind. So this is something I can always tell, whatever tool you use, yes, BPM is business process management. It's not your only the BPM tool. And this is always important to remind even existing customers about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you saw that a few days ago, I shared a slide on LinkedIn, what people think BPM is. It's process modeling. And then on the other side, it was about what BPM really is about. And this somehow went viral. I'm a little bit proud of this picture, and that perfectly fits to what you just said. So process modeling, this is what most of the people expect, but there's way more than just process modeling, so too. And it's good to have that in mind right from the beginning. Cool. So let's look into the future. Which trends do you see currently in the BPM tool market developing? What is coming up there?
One thing we already touched about and talked about is this operational part. Customers say, we have documented processes, and what do we do about it? We have gotten the benefits of standardization, harmonization, common language, and all the things that come with documented processes. And then, well, you have already the blueprint, so why don't you start automating? So what we see is that lots of customers ask, okay, now we have the to-be process documented in your tool. How do we get to living this to-be process in the organization? And one thing can be that you then talk about changes in processes in existing applications. But one thing can also be, why don't you go and start automating processes when you know now that there is a to-be process and it should be different than the one that is existing right now? So this operational process execution is really on lots of organization's mind. How do we go the next step from documentation to living the process, to automation? And this is something that we follow up with the tools that we mentioned about. Ongoing thing, not a new trend, Mirko, but still as ever popular, integration of business process management with regulatory requirements, the governance part. Look at all the crises that we have. Yes, the processes were defined nicely, but the risks that came up that were nobody's mind. suddenly brought the process to, you know, nearly a breakdown. So this has really renewed the attention of the process owners to say, hey, yes, we need to pay attention. What can break our processes? Where do we have risk? What do we do to control those risks? It's nothing new, but it's more popular than ever. And this is also something that is on our customers' mind, but also on the ones that ask and we request a demo, for example. A stronger integration of the applications. Biggest should not be a silo within the customer's application landscape. We talked about single sign-on authentication part, but there's a strong trend in integrating the process content. For example, earlier on, it was SharePoint. These days, is in Microsoft Teams. How can I see the flowchart in my Teams stuff? How can I comment the processes actually not in Big, but in other applications like Confluence? How can we integrate the process content in our enterprise-wide search? So we hand over process results to the search engines that are used throughout the organization. And of course, integration with disciplines that are close to BPM, like enterprise architecture management with integrations in tools like Lean IX or other enterprise architecture tools. SAP integration is really now taking off since SAP S/4HANA is on those minds that have SAP in focus. How can we integrate process management with the Solman, for example? So integrating is really something that is going on all the time. Process and data mining. Yes, everybody's requesting, okay, what this process mining is all about. How can we incorporate it? I think this will be a very common use case in the future, where we see that using such techniques, mining techniques, is really it's a project-centric way of doing things. It's not like we can fix things very quickly, but it's a project, and therefore process and data mining are on the agenda. But customers and users see that this is not like for everyone. It's a specific discipline where we need specific skills for. But more and more customers see the interest and the value that mining technologies can actually bring. And one more thing is, and it's popping up now here and there, it's Mirko Green BPM. How can BPM support in having a more sustainable environment, more sustainable business? How can we fulfill ESG requirements, maybe with the documentation, maybe with the automation, maybe with the governance, risk, and compliance part? So this is something I think we will also discuss much more in the months and years to come. What kind of support can we bring with BPM tools to that green aspects of our life?
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely an important aspect as well. But beside these general trends, to be more specific, what's on the roadmap for the further development of BIC right now?
Ongoing support, working on keeping the user experience excellent. This is always something that is on the roadmap. Yes, we have lots of new features coming up with each version, and the features, functionalities are customer-driven, are competition-driven, are GPTech-driven. So there's lots of new features coming with each version. As you might know, we bring out a new version every 3 months, and therefore customers don't have to wait a long time to get their hands on the new features and functionalities. Some of the stuff that we are working on, and this is maybe also going to the trends, is, for example, the artificial integration of things. How can we integrate the automatic translation of content by using very modern translation tools? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know the DeepL, you know the Google Translate and all that stuff. And the quality these days is quite high. So we are talking about integrating these technologies into the application to use it, for example, translation purposes. The AI integration for speech recognition. How cool would it be, Mikko? We would tell our iPhone, I start off with a starting event, I have 2 lanes, and the system will create our flowchart based on what we tell the application to be doing. So this is something that we look at and look a little bit in the future with universities that are actually looking into that one. This is something we are working on besides lots of features, functionalities that better the user experience, but also having new features. But the ones that stand out are really right now that integration of KI and AI, and to find out what works and what sounds good, but it will not work in a BPM tool.
Okay, cool. I would love to learn more on that and love to see that in the future. That's super interesting. Cool. And now, somehow important question about the price. So what's the pricing model of big? Let's imagine, talk about two different company sizes. One with about 1,000 employees on the one hand side, and on the other side, just a small startup with 50 employees. What would they have to pay?
The license model, Meko, is very, very transparent, and it's very, very open-minded and you know, user-friendly. That means customers only pay what they're using. I explained before that BIG is a platform with different modules. So somebody who's only looking for the mapping module will only pay for the mapping module. And within the different modules, we have different user roles. And the typical license model is that you pay a certain amount of money for a dedicated role. The role could be the administrator of the application, the modeler, the reviewer, the reader. In the workflow, it could be a workflow participant. So this is how we typically license it, based on the number of users. And another criteria is the duration of the contract. So does the customer start off and doing it for 1 year, or are they planning it for 3 years, for 5 years? And this very much is relevant for defining a price model. Typical pricing for a company, you said around 1,000, is, let's say, around 20,000 euros per year, I would say. It depends also on how the company is setting up their BPM competence center. Will they document processes very centrally? Will they have a decentralized way of documenting? Do they need more modelers in comparison to the readers? So there's a variety in there, but that figure I just mentioned is quite a good starting point. And it's all in. It's not just a license, but when we talk about the licensing today, Meko, it's different than it was earlier in the years before. It's a SaaS option typically. We do the hosting for the customer in ISO 27001 certified data centers, typically in Germany. But if the customer wishes, all over the globe, it's the maintenance in there, it's the updates, upgrades in there, it's the technical support in there. So the price that I mentioned is really all in, and only services that, if they are needed, will come on top of that. For that startup company, and we have quite a few of those, where in the beginning I said, 50 employees using a BPM tool like BIG. Well, you typically use a BPM tool when you have a complex organization, when you have many redundant processes, when you have locations globally, then the real value comes in, because you need that common language, you need that common notation. And so in the first time when customers came and said, no, we have like a law firm with 25 persons. And I said, well, is BIG the right tool for you? And after discussing with them what they have in mind, what pain points they have, I said, no, it's very well. You have the same pain points like the global Fortune 500 company, but maybe with a little less factor in there. And especially those that are a startup, that will grow quite quickly in the next years, those organizations want to implement processes right from the beginning. And even maybe the BPM tool is at that point a little bit too much, let's say it this way, they know that maybe in 1 year's time, it's too late. Then processes have gotten the life of their own, and then to bring it back into a common language, then maybe it's much more effort. So I fully understand now that startups come to us and say, hey, we plan to grow quite fast. And right from the beginning, we want to document, standardize processes when we onboard now lots of new employees in a very short time. Pricing for that is, I would say, we could start at 2,500 euros all in. So you might need one modeler, you have 50 readers. And again, it's the all-in price. And this is not much more expensive, as you know, than using Visio, for example, if you have to license it.
Yeah. That's good to know. And I know a lot of startups which are already thinking about implementing processes, because at a certain point, the founders cannot answer all the questions. You have to document processes, onboard new employees. So what's better than having processes there? Cool. That's true. Yeah. So now we know a lot about the tool. If we want to know more, where can we go to? Where can the listeners go to? Is there a way to test it? Do you have a special offer for our listeners?
First of all, you can go to our website. And on our website, you will find lots of more information about BIG, about GBTech. You find resources like white papers, like videos, so you get a good first impression about the tool, even without speaking to Mark Stromberg or my colleagues at GBTech, and you get a certain kind of flavor how GBTech ticks, how the big tool ticks, without even being in contact with us. On the website, you will find the link to the access for the demo. Yes, we offer a free demo of the different applications. Typically, it's for 30 days. But of course, if customers or if interested parties need a longer time to do it, we just prolong it. But this is the best way how you can really get a feel for what I explained today. And instead of having then somebody from GBTech explaining you how the tool ticks, we have integrated a so-called user pilot in our demo that will, like a little chat robot, that will showcase the most important features while you use the system. And this is like a little online training, onboarding training in the tool itself. And it actually works wonders because we have all different users trying and testing it. There are the BPM experts that have, you know, worked with different tools. Then there are the ones that have been using Visio, Excel, PowerPoint, and we have the total newbies who have never documented flowchart. And if you tell them about BPM and EPC, they are already lost. So that is integrated in the tool to help you get a wonderful onboarding part. And in this user pilot, we reference to our online academy. We have a training academy at GBTech, which do trainer-led trainings, either on-premises or online. But since we have lots of global companies using our tool with lots of employees in the enterprise, we started a 24/7 online academy where users can go to trainings any time of the day, 24/7, 365 days. They even get some kind of certification that they did the training. And this is something that really brings value, not just for onboarding new interested parties, and you can use it for free, some of the courses, and those that use it then professionally to support the rollout of BIG in the organization also find many, many more courses available there. So go to our website, and of course, you can go to LinkedIn, you can go to, I don't know, do we have a Xing? Yeah, we still have a Xing account, and find resources. And if you want to hear and read what other customers think about BIG, then go to the typical website like G2 Process, Gartner, Peer Insight, I think it's called, where you find ratings of customers that already use BIG, and you can get a good impression of what it feels like and looks like. For the new Process Lab listeners, we have a special treat. Yes, the moment you show interest in BIG and the moment the interest gets quite deep and you request a quote, we have that special chocolate treat I told you before, Mirko, that we will incorporate into that price information. But please reference that you are a listener of New Process Lab from Mirko, and that will be done automatically.
That's super cool. Thank you, Mark, for this special offer to our listeners. That's great. And well, also, thank you for all these super interesting insights. It's always good to learn more about a tool, even if I know it for years now. It's great to get all these insights from you personally here. Before we leave the aircraft, before we end this episode, is there anything else you would like to share with our listeners?
The main message I want to bring across, and we did it already before, Mirko, process management is such a valuable asset to organization that please try to make yourself heard within the organization. And as you also know, Mirko, very often BPM is a grassroots topic. The employees are frustrated about how processes work, and then they start, you know, documenting, translation, analysis, etc. But it's not really a top-down approach. And this is something where I can really reach out to all the executives in organizations. Please support your employees when they raise their voice and say that they think process management is a valuable asset. Using professional tools will even bring more benefits. So this is that it's not just, you know, a silo attempt approach in the organization, but it should be an organization-wide initiative and not that trench topic, but it should be ongoing. The most value customers get out of BPM is when they go it, do it systematically, do it consistently. And even in times when processes are not as hip, maybe, as they might be right now, please go on doing it, because the next hype topic that is process related is just around the corner. And then everybody will value what the BPM team has been doing over the years and will really get benefits out of what is already there.
Cool. Thank you for these motivating final words. Just one last question. How would you describe your flight experience with just three words?
I have three words and one little letter. Well designed and performed.
Perfect. Cool. Mark, thank you so much for being my guest on the New Process Podcast. Great to have you here, and I'm looking forward to further opportunities for collaborating with you. So thank you very much. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Mirko, thanks so much for having me, and I'm looking forward to our next 15 years together in BPM.
Yeah, great. Let's do that. Cool. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mirko. Bye-bye.
Let's recap today's new process inspiration.
Yeah, cool. I found it super interesting to get an update on BIG and also what's on the roadmap and so on, to learn how you can use BIG to rethink processes. So as I said, I know Mark already for years, and I had a look into the tool from time to time. But if you haven't, feel free to contact Mark and his team. And don't forget to mention that you listened to this episode. I think he said that he's holding a special offer for our listeners there, right? Cool. So in the next episode, this will be another tool episode, and I'm going to explore a tool which I haven't seen up to now. So I'm really curious. Stay tuned and let's explore it together. For now, thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye and auf Wiedersehen.
You've been listening to the New Process Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode for more tools, methods, and best practices to rethink your process and push it to the next level. Thank you for listening.
Okay, before you leave, just a quick question. Have you already listened to the previous episode where I talked to Andreas Bierwirth about how to become a process influencer to inspire people for processes? If not, you definitely have to. The feedback of the idea of the role of a process influencer was just amazing. So if you listen to it, have you already started your first content creation activities? It would be super cool to learn how it worked out. And then just send me an email to mirko@newprocesslab.com. That would be cool. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.